John chapter 2 and verse 1. I'm going to focus on verse 4, but the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. I'd like you to focus on Jesus' statement to his mother, Woman, what have I to do with thee? I would like to use that question as a title tonight. What have I to do with thee? I am going to talk for a moment on what I consider to be another key to apostolic revival. I feel very deeply about what I'm getting ready to say. I feel like that it is important for my own personal relationship with the Lord. It has to do with our willingness to cooperate with the plan of God. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word that we have heard today. Every minister, every presenter today, I thank you for this church. I thank you for Brother Arcovio and his wife and family and their burden to build a fire in St. Joseph area and its impact on so many of us as we've come to help in that endeavor, and we have been helped in the process. Lord, I thank you for the promises that we have in your word, the challenges that we have received. I pray tonight that you would put something in somebody's heart that will cause them to leave here more determined and more appreciative, more revelation. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Turn around, shake somebody's hand and say, forget about me for the rest of this service, would you? Some of the things, and I'm going to sound like an old timer right here, and I don't mean to sound that way. This is just where I've been. But many years ago, when Cheryl and I were starting a church in Vancouver, we were just doing what we felt like the Lord wanted us to do. We didn't have any motives other than to try to please the Lord. And didn't have any motives, didn't have any money. No motives, no money. All we had was a mission. But I got to thinking about that the other day and began to think about all the blessings of the Lord and what He's done over the last 25 years in my life personally, and how indebted that I am to Him, and how wonderful that He's been every step of the way. And I don't mind telling you tonight that the best of times and the worst of times in my life have been following the Lord. Some of the most traumatic and difficult and adverse circumstances that I've ever faced in my life, I've faced right smack dab in the middle of the will of God. Wondering at times if God wasn't playing some cruel joke. If He wasn't some kind of divine masochist. He just liked inflicting pain on me. Sitting back and watching me squirm and complain and question. But through it all, it seems like every time you look back on your life, you just go a little bit higher in the Lord, and the blessings keep piling up, and answers keep coming, and the relationship with the Lord keeps growing. I've got a long way to go. I don't mind admitting that tonight. There's I've got farther to go than what I've come, but I'm here to tell you that when God sets out to do a thing, He does it well. He doesn't have problems. He isn't frustrated. God knows exactly how to accomplish that which He has purposed to do. And I tell you how strong I believe what I just said to you. There's a lady by the name of Ida. She's a soul winner. She's in our church. She's just an amazing lady. She loves the Lord with all of her heart. She hasn't been serving the Lord but about 10 years. But she's responsible for a lot of excitement in the kingdom of God from week to week. Ida called me a year or two ago. She said, "Brother Black, I've got a little problem." You see, Ida's single, and she was having some difficulty physically with fibroid tumors, and the doctor recommended a hysterectomy. And I said, "Well, what's wrong with that, Ida? If that's what you need, go get it." She said, "Well, there's just one problem." She said, "God promised me a natural born child. And if I have a hysterectomy, that'll be impossible." And I thought for a minute. And I said, "God, you're going to have to help me on this one." She said, "I just want some direction." And I thought and I prayed. And right here is where you're going to be glad I'm not your pastor. Because this is the wisdom I come up with. I said, "Ida, did God really tell you that?" She said, "God said it, Brother Black." I said, "Are you sure it's God?" She said, "I'm as sure as I've ever been about anything in my life. It was God." I said, "Did God say he's going to be adopted?" She said, "Natural born." I said, "You're sure it's God?" She said, "I'm positive. I don't have any question that God told me that." I said, "Then I don't care what you do. I don't care if you get it. I don't care if you don't get it. When God opens his mouth and decides that he's going to do a thing, then our little obstacles don't matter to God." Aren't you glad I'm not your pastor? The hysterectomy isn't a problem with God. He can build a baby out of that wall right there if he decides he wants to do it. It ain't a problem with God. So I don't care what you do. If God said it, it'll happen. And I got to thinking the other day about Cheryl and I walking down those streets, knocking on doors, pushing those babies in strollers. Every day, all day on weekends, driving the Tiggermobile down through town. Thank God to Brother Richard Gazowski and Brother Jimmy Shoemake, I had the Tiggermobile. Went all the way down to San Francisco to get it, drove it up, had a wreck on the way up with the Tiggermobile. It was a bus about 9 feet long, about 12 feet wide, looked like a special school district bus, you know. But it was painted with Disneyland characters all the way around it and had Tigger right in the front, painted all around the windshield. Tiggermobile. Picked up hundreds of kids in the Tiggermobile. Put three engines in the Tiggermobile. I don't know how many people got the Holy Ghost after riding in the Tiggermobile. Tiggermobile may still be running as far as I know, but I know this. When God looked down on Cheryl and I wonder how he must have felt. I wonder how he feels as he looks down on you tonight, just simply trying to do his will for his pleasure. There's no wonder in my mind why God blesses and why he performs miracles and why he's willing to show himself strong on behalf of them that love and fear him. I can tell you now that if I saw my children out of my thinking as they were working and trying to do my bidding and my pleasure out of my eyesight, out of earshot, if I saw them trying to help me along and edify me and build up my concerns and work within my desires and my passions. I'd pour out all of my resource. I would give them favor. I would look kindly upon them. It's not a surprise to me that God blesses people that are interested in pleasing Him. Let me tell you, is this all right? I'll get fired up in a minute. I'm trying to hold it all in right now and be preacher-like. But I just want to set a stage here for a second. John Arcovio made that statement. 1 year ago last month, we had a missions conference. And Brother Kevin Blake was walking out our door. And I hope that what I'm saying tonight does not come across wrong. I am all I want to do tonight is edify somebody's faith. Anyway, he's walking out my office door on Sunday night. Missions conference is over. We had just had a sacrifice Sunday for our church 2 weeks prior to our missions conference. Our missions conference that Sunday was a record, just shy of a record missions pledge. And 2 weeks prior to that, the Holy Ghost moved in to the church on our sacrifice Sunday, and those people, God bless their hearts, begin to catch the vision and begin to embrace the whole concept of giving and kingdom-mindedness, and pledge $640,000 to be given in 90 days for the building program. And when I tell you that the Holy Ghost began to anoint and move in that place, and miracles begin to happen before in the Spirit, before they ever happen physically, I am telling you that tonight. And when I tell you that we had to fight hell to get to that point, I'm telling you that as well. $800,000 was pledged in 2 week time. And when Kevin Blake walked out of the office, the lights were out, he looked at me and he said, "Brother Black, this was the second time in a year I'd heard this very statement. I'm getting to the point now where if I hear it, I just freeze in my tracks." He said, "Brother Black, I have felt the Holy Ghost and a prophecy in the Holy Ghost on me all day, and I just stopped." We were standing in the complete dark. And I said, "I just didn't want to embarrass you in front of your church. I didn't want to put you on the spot." But he said, "I feel a prophecy." And I said, "Well, let her rip." And he looked at me and he said, "Your sacrifice Sunday is not over. God is getting ready to gift you substantially." I said, "I receive it." It was not 60 days as we were negotiating on this property that the realtor called me and said, "I'm going to see the owner of this property and meet him for breakfast. Would you like to go?" I said, "Sure, I'd like to go." He said, "Well, I'm going in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning. We'll meet at the Blue Plate." I said, "I'll be there." I hung that phone up, and ladies and gentlemen, as sure as I am standing on this podium, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And I wish I could tell you that that happened to me every day. But the Holy Ghost spoke into my spirit and said, "Now's the time." And I thought, "What?" And the Holy Ghost said, "You have not because you ask not." And I said to myself, "I can't ask for more money. I've been asking for money for the last 2 months. I'm about to ask out. And I don't even know this guy. I've never met him. He's probably some kind of heathen for all I know. I open my mouth and ask him for something. He's going to look at me and wonder what planet I jumped off of." But I'm telling you, it was as forceful as I'm standing here tonight. I said, "Well, Lord, if you open the door and if you could protect my dignity, I'd appreciate it. But if you open the door, I'll walk through it." And lo and behold, the next morning, Thursday morning, sitting in Dan Turley's office, I had never met this man in my life. And he was a heathen. He was a good heathen. He didn't know the Lord. Didn't claim to know the Lord. I was fasting that particular day when we ate breakfast. He said, "Aren't you going to eat?" And I said, "No." I said, "I'm not going to eat." And he said, "Well, why not?" And I said, "Well, I'm not eating today." He said, "Well, why aren't you eating?" I said, "Well, I haven't. I'm fasting." He said, "Oh, fast." He said, "Yeah, I do that too." He said, "I do that around Lent." He said, "I quit drinking for a day." I said, "That's good. That's good." And we're talking about the property. And we get down to the negotiating points where you're hanging up. And the Holy Ghost prompted me and said, "Now's your time." I said, "What?" The realtor's sitting right here. Dan Turley is sitting right there. And I'm sitting in the middle. And we were at loggerheads as to how much land and how much we were going to pay for it and what particular land he wanted to sell and what land I wanted to buy. And the Holy Ghost said, "Now's your time." I swallowed real hard and I said, "Mr. Turley, I believe I have the answer to this dilemma." He said, "Yeah, what is it?" I said, "That 12 acres right there in the corner that's next to the 23 that you don't want to sell without selling the 12? Yeah." I said, "You need to give that to me. You give that to me, that'll solve this whole problem." When I opened my mouth, I thought, "Oh, dear God, I made a fool out of myself." He went on, walked around the subject, looked at me like I'd flat lost my mind, but was too kind to tell me that. Changed the subject, went on for 30 more minutes, and before God, about 30 minutes later, Dan Turley, God bless that good old heathen, sat up in his chair like he'd been stuck with a cattle prod. His eyes bulged, and he looked across that table at me, and he said, "Pastor," pointed at me, and I'm thinking, "Oh, dear God, now I'm going to hear what an idiot I am." He said, "I see your vision." I said, "That's good." He said, "I'll call you tomorrow at noon." 11 o'clock, he rang my phone. I wasn't even there. He left a message. And the message said, "This is Dan Turley, Reverend. He said, I want you to know that land. I just talked to my tax man, and it's all yours. It's all yours. You can have it." Somebody hear me tonight. Somebody hear me tonight. In 24 hours, God turned a $600,000 purchase into a $600,000 gift. It wasn't anything I thought up. It wasn't any business strategy I had. Somebody hear me tonight. God, the Holy Ghost, has an agenda. Did you hear me tonight? We're getting there, but some of you are catching on a little bit early. I said, the Holy Ghost has an agenda. God didn't come into this place tonight just to let us run rampant with our own ideas and our own folly and our own exuberance and our own enthusiasm poured out upon ourselves. God walked into this place tonight with an agenda that He set out in the heavenlies and put out Himself. And when God decides to do a thing, nothing can stop Him from doing it. Oh. I'm telling you, I feel like charging hell with a water pistol tonight. Somebody just indulge me in my folly, but there's 1 million people in the city of Memphis
And I'm telling you where our church sits tonight. We didn't come to win 500 of them. We didn't come to win 900 of them. We didn't come to take 2,000 of them. But God called the church to the city of Memphis to win 1,000,000 people. And somehow I've got to believe that if God has an agenda of winning a city, then the church ought to change its agenda and get on God's page. Praise God. Oh, everybody still love me? Say amen. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. If you don't get anything else from this conference, you ought to get this, and I'm going to affirm it again tonight. God is up to something. It is not business as usual. God is not just ignoring this nation. He is not giving you a burden for no reason. He is up to something. And what He has determined to do through you, He is going to accomplish it regardless of what He has to do to get the job done. So somebody ought to get ready for a miracle tonight. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, from that time until October, as far as the property was concerned, it looked like two or three times that it wasn't all going to work out. But the Lord knows how to remind you. I went to the prayer conference in St. Louis this last year in August. Got there late, sitting on the back row, 1,000 people sit there. I don't know that I've ever formally met Martin Bustard. I don't think I have. In fact, I know I haven't. And lo and behold, while he's standing up there ministering, 1,000 people, I had about 5 people from my church, and I'm sitting right on the back row. Nobody knew I was there. And I'm standing there worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden I hear him shout, I don't know if Terry this sounds so ridiculous to me when I say it, but it's the truth. It's exactly the way it happened. So I don't know if Terry Black is in this house or not, but I got a word from the Lord for him. You're dealing with property on the interstate. God wants you to know that He's got all of that in control. You're going to have a favorable resolution. It's going to be affordable. And everything is going to work out. And those people from my church sat on that back row and said, have you talked to Brother Bustard? I said, no, I don't even know Brother Bustard. And I went to Brother Bustard after the service. And I walked up to him and I said, has anybody talked to you about my business? And he said, no. He said, am I off base? I said, off base? My God, you're right in the middle of my business. He said, well, I'm glad you come up here and told me that, because sometimes when I say what the Lord wants me to say, I don't have a clue. I never hear any more about it. I said, buddy, you're right in the middle of the Holy Ghost. October, we closed on the land. Well, let me just tell you, I just got to finish this little segment. I could talk to you all night about some of the things the Lord is doing. And the only reason I'm doing it is because I want somebody to expand their faith and embrace some things that are unseen here tonight. If you're feeling something in your spirit that is illogical, that you cannot understand, that you can't get your brain around, that doesn't mean that it's impossible. It probably means that God's getting ready to send something your way that He wants a little glory for. So all of a sudden, in the last year, our building project has gone from $2.5 million to $5.5 million. Now we got a building to sell, and we got property to develop, and we still owe $600,000 on the land that we paid $1.4 million for. I went in to youth convention, and I got to admit, I'm excited about what the Lord is doing, but I don't have a clue how to accomplish everything He's put in my spirit to do. I walk around the church sometimes like I know what I'm talking about, but if everybody really, really understood what I was thinking on the inside, they'd probably fire me tomorrow. Don't you all tell them. to go to youth convention on Thursday night. I'm standing in the audience, and Brother John Arcovio comes over and puts his hand on my shoulder. This is just the other day now. And he said, Brother Black, the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and I'm going, oh, dear God. And he looks at me with that look on his face, and I'm thinking, oh, dear God, I hope the hearses aren't ready to drive. I don't know what God has told him. I got a call from Sister Ida one time in the middle of the night, and she said, Brother Black, he's talking in tongues. Brother Black, oh, I feel a black spirit over you. I feel a spirit of attack over you. Just get ready. Some spirit's trying to take your life. And I hung that phone up, and I thought, I can't sleep with that kind of a deal. I was getting ready to go to bed. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Now I got a spirit's going to try to kill me while I'm snoring. So I called Ida back. I said, Ida, I don't receive that. You go. He's a prayer warrior. I said, you pray. See, you get to praying. I don't have this burden. I don't have this feeling. So you get to praying and call me back after I make it. About 2 hours later, the phone rang. She said, everything's all right. Hush, 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 hush. I've got the Holy Ghost. I feel the peace of the Holy Ghost. It's all going to be okay. I said, all right, I'm going to bed. If I'm going to live, I'm going to bed. If I'm going to die, I'm going to stay up. And Brother Arcovio walks over and puts his hand on my shoulder, and he said, Brother Black, I got a word from the Lord. And I'm like a deer in the headlights, thinking, okay. He said, as soon as you get home, you're going to notice your church sagging. But he said, the Holy Ghost showed me 3 pillars. They're going to rise up out of your congregation and steady your church. That was on a Thursday. Monday, I went to the building committee meeting. The most viable option was almost $6 million. And I listened to the 15-man committee talk and lay out the path. And it came down like this. We need to sell the building. But the first thing we need to do is pay off the land. And then we need to build. And we're already 3 years behind schedule. And $600,000 payoff without a move of the Holy Ghost might as well be $6 million. And my spirit sunk. And for 3 days, I'm thinking, Lord, how are we going to get through this tonight? Souls are at stake. But I feel that you've directed this. And I just kind of left it in the hands of the Lord. On Wednesday, Brother Mark McKelvin calls me and says, Brother Black, I called Cindy and she said your schedule was full. But is there any way that Brother Ray and I can have lunch with you? We've been up all night talking. He's been over at my house. We've been talking about what the Holy Ghost wants to do with our building program. I said, we'll have lunch tomorrow. They met me at Hops, and both of them with tears streaming down their face said, Brother Black, God has been better to us than we deserve. There's something that's happening in our spirits. Something has caught on in our vision. Something is happening within us. We begin to understand, Brother Black, the things that have been said in the last year or 2 or 3 years that God blesses us so we in turn can give it back and bless. And the more that we give back, the more He will give. What we begin to find out is that God blesses us because He can trust us. And He trusts us to be stewards, not owners. We're not owners of what we have. We're stewards of what we have. God owns it all. And he said, Brother Black, I haven't spoken one thing to these men or anybody else. Mark McKelvin looks across that table with tears dripping off of his face, and he said, God is moving on us to help rally this church to pay that land off. He said, if you will give us permission, there are pillars in this church that will rise up and will take this church to another level. And the Holy Ghost walked into that restaurant right then and began to crawl up my spine. And I looked at Mark and I said, Mark, the Holy Ghost is using you right now. Brother Ray, the Holy Ghost is using you right now. You are walking in the Spirit, and you don't even realize it today. He said, Brother Black, I realize it. I feel the Holy Ghost. And he said, we're not going to talk about it. We're going to do it. That was on a Thursday. On Sunday, they came to me and said, three of us got together. Three men. Three of us got together, and we've already given $200,000 to pay off that land. I'm telling you, when we get a hold of what I'm talking about tonight, it isn't about money, it isn't about property, it isn't about glory for ourselves, it's about an agenda that God has brought to the table that He wants somebody to buy into. And when the church buys into that agenda, God will twist Himself to do whatever needs to be done to honor and to bring it to pass. And I've been basking in this environment all day today. And I walked out of here because I've been gone. This is my second week to be gone. I need to call into the office. And Cindy was on the other end of the line. She said, Brother Black, I just wanted to tell you, I knew this would excite you. And then you're up here at the prayer conference. We wanted maybe to encourage somebody. But she said, Brother Philip Marshall, Brother Hall Bridgeforth, and Brother Martin Calvin, they came by the church a while ago and gave us $200,000 in cashier's checks. They want you to call them because they're excited. I called Phil Marshall and talked to him, and he said, Brother Black, I've never felt hell so hot in all my life. But he said, I've never felt more in the perfect will of God. He said, there's another $150,000 that'll be here by Sunday. Somebody tell me that God's not going to bless anybody that gets a hold of His agenda and has a mind to help God do what He has decided He wants to do. Now here's the deal. This is what I wanted to say to you. I spent a lot of time just trying to set an attitude in your mind to say this. Jesus looked at Mary and John too. And Mary was saying, Jesus, they don't have any wine. And Jesus looked at her and said, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Now, you explain that. Mine hour is not yet. Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet. He turned right around and worked the miracle. I would suggest to you tonight, oh God, help me to get this across. I would suggest to you tonight that the miracle that He worked had nothing to do with His hour that He referred to, and it had nothing to do with Mary's request. The Bible says that nobody knew that He worked a miracle except the men that filled the water pots. Nobody else knew. What was Mary wanting? There's a couple of things that the Holy Ghost has spoken to me about this particular text. Number one, there is a huge difference between wants and needs. The need at that wedding was met. But I submit to you tonight that whatever Mary wanted, she didn't get. What do you mean? We're talking about the same woman 30 years prior that the angel visited and said, Mary, you found favor with God. You're going to have a son. And she said, how? I've never been intimate with a man. I'm not married. I'm a virgin. And the angel said, with God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is it. Do you realize what happened at that exchange? God had purposed to change the world. God had purposed to come as a man himself. And he chose a virgin, an absolute physical impossibility. Mary was right to protest. Mary was right to say, I don't understand. Mary was right to say, I don't see how this can be. Every one of us has said it at one time or another. In fact, God has never done anything worthwhile in any of our lives where we were able to explain it. Every worthwhile thing he's done in my life has been something illogical and unexplainable. Something miraculous. Something that you can look down the road and not guess at. Every time God has come and said, I determined to do a thing, I've wrung my hands until it happened. I've questioned and wondered how in the world it's going to happen. Because that's the way God works. God set up his Old Testament kingdom on the backs of three barren women. You'd think if God was going to do things the way we think he ought to do them, he would have hooked Abraham up with a woman that could have kids. He gave his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he said, your seed is going to be as the sands of the sea and the stars of the heaven, and he married every one of them off to women who couldn't have children. Sarah was barren as a rock. Rebecca was barren. Rachel was barren. But God put a promise in these men and said, I'm going to make your seed as the sands of the sea. Ladies and gentlemen, either God doesn't know what he's doing or God does know what he's doing, and he delights in choosing situations that cannot be explained, where man cannot get the glory, and where he has to infuse his divine supernatural power in order to make his word come to pass. Somebody bear with me right now, but I'm sick of church as usual. And I'm sick of having things happen that we can explain. I'm sick of having situations come about where somebody in the congregation can get a little bit of glory. God wants to do something in our midst that no flesh can glory. But in order for us to get to that point, he has to provide an impossibility. Some of you are standing right in the middle of a miracle. Is that not the way God works? Abraham, you're going to have a lot of kids. Here, meet Sarah. And he let that couple pine away until they were 100 years old. And when they were in their 70s, God sends an angel, late 70s, God sends an angel and says, comes himself, however you want to explain it, and said, you're going to have a son. And Sarah's going, man, I've heard that promise before. And goes out behind the tent and laughs. From the time he got the promise until they had their kid, it was almost 20 years. And you think that's crazy. Sometimes God just acts crazy. Zacharias was bumping around the temple. I say this respectfully, but I'm just trying to draw you a picture of where God delights to spread his wares. Zacharias is bumping around the temple long past the age. that he was useful in the service. He was old. And his wife, Elizabeth, was well stricken in years. She wasn't just old, she was well stricken. Has anybody ever been stricken with anything positive? I've never said in my younger days, I'm telling you, that gal has just been struck with good looks. Usually if you're stricken with something, it's negative. And the Bible says Elizabeth was well stricken years. And she wasn't just well stricken in age, but she was barren. And lo and behold, in the middle of that old man and old woman's life, right in the middle of that barren woman's life, God sends an angel and says to Zacharias, while he's bumping around the temple with his cane and his Coke bottle lenses, Zacharias, I've got a new day to announce to you. Within 1 year, you're going to have a bouncing baby boy from Elizabeth's womb. Wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall when Zacharias went home that afternoon? Honey, I got something to tell you. Zach, you look a little bit different today. You see him? Roses under his arm, candles under the other arm, a spring in his step she hadn't seen in 70 years. He walks into that house and throws that stuff down on the table and walks over and puts his arms around her and puts a smack on her lips she hadn't had in decades and said, I've got some news for you that's going to change our lives. That's the way God works. He isn't put off by age. He isn't put off by physical ability. He isn't put off by finance. God has no problems. He can open Zacharias' loins, he can fertilize Elizabeth's womb, and he can take a virgin and conceive in that virgin. I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not. The Bible says that Joseph was thinking about divorcing Mary. Matthew chapter 1, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Before Mary and Joseph came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Well, I don't blame the man. I love my wife. I talked to her this afternoon, told her I loved her. But if she would have said to me this afternoon on the phone, honey, I got news. I'm pregnant. And I said to her, how could this be? And she says to me, oh, I know what you're thinking, but it's not that. It's God. I'd have a hard time with that myself. And Joseph was having a hard time with that. But an angel came to him and said, Joseph, this thing which is in Mary is of the Holy Ghost. God doesn't have problems dealing with the impossibilities that he presents before men. Stand somebody up in front of a Red Sea and see what God can do with it. Put the church around the walls of Jericho and see what God can do with it. Put a pitcher in the hand. Put a trumpet in the mouth. Put a fight in their spirit and a praise in the heart and see what God can do with it. I'm telling you, when the church gets on God's page, anything can happen. Woo! I'm about through. Let me tell you. This is the lady 30 years prior that had that experience. And she already, we don't hear a whole lot about Mary. But depending on how you interpret it, you could read into her life when it is written about her. That she had a tendency to take the things of God for granted. Wonderful experience. But 12 years later, after Jesus was lost 3 days, how do you explain that? I'm sure there's some cultural explanation. But if I was lost and my mom and dad didn't find me for 3 days, I'd be pretty upset. He'd been lost 3 days. Mary came to him, said, Jesus, your father and I have been looking for you for 3 days. And Jesus looked at her and said, I am about my father's business. Mama, my father is not a carpenter. Mama, it's about priorities. Mama, it's about agendas. I wonder if after 30 years of listening to the neighborhood talk, here goes it. How do you explain that? How do you explain what God's going to do? How do you explain the promises of God? How do you explain what God puts in your spirit? How do you explain it once it's happened? How do you explain the working of the Spirit? There's that one. 30 years. She finally comes to Jesus. Jesus, they don't have any wine. What was she really saying? Could she have been saying, I'm tired of this reproach. I'm tired of this unexplained life. I'm tired of living under this. I'm tired of walking this road. I want to be validated in the eyes of the community. I want somebody to look at me as legitimate. I want a church that's as pretty as the First Baptist. We want miracles like Benny Hinn talks about. We want to be recognized in the eyes of the religious community for our value. We know what we have. We know who we are. It's time that we're legitimized. Jesus, if you'll do your thing and they find out who you are, then they'll know who I am. And I'll be validated. I won't any longer be a woman in the shadow. I won't be somebody that needs to be whispered about. I won't have to carry around this secret. I can walk on the road just like everybody else. Just work a miracle so that everybody will know that you're the person that I know you are. You see, what I'm trying to say to you tonight is that there is a key to apostolic revival. There is a key to the miraculous. There is a key to the supernatural dimension, but it's not your agenda. Jesus looked at her and said, Woman, what have I to do with thee? And I think that's a valid question in this day and time. What does Jesus have to do with our petitions? What does Jesus have to do with my hunger for miracles? What does Jesus have to do with my desire for growth? What does Jesus have to do with my desire for the supernatural expression? What does Jesus have to do with my lifestyle? Or is it some personal agenda that I have so that somehow I'll be validated before my friends and before this community? Let me tell you why we don't see miracles like we could. Because God has an agenda here, and we have an agenda over here. But when the church gets on God's agenda and kneels before Calvary and begins to pray, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I'm challenging this entire congregation tonight to take your day timer and to scratch out your name everywhere it says me, everywhere it says I. I want this for me. I want that miracle for me. I want that for me. I want to be validated. I want to be legitimate. I want somebody to recognize my church. I want somebody to recognize my life. And put your hands out on the cross and let Him nail your hands with His. And let God's agenda pour into your spirit. And watch what God begins to do in your life. When my agenda becomes God's agenda, then I begin to see the things that God wants to see. That's the way it works, I believe. Let me tell you, and I close with this. Brother Gleason, I didn't know this until just 2 days ago. But you baptized a man at the district conference. I don't even know his name. He was a Church of Christ preacher. He got on the internet and was chatting on the internet with Tony Mancino, who is Ed Goddard, the superintendent of New Brunswick, his son-in-law and assistant pastor. And Tony began to witness to him about the Lord, talk to him about the truth. And he embraced all of that. Called Brother Beininger, I believe. And was brought to district conference just a week or two ago and baptized in Jesus' name. I don't know if he's received the Holy Ghost or not. He has received the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you about that. Tony Mancino. Cheryl and I won Tony to the Lord 20 years ago. When we first met Tony, Cheryl was knocking on doors, pushing Crystal in a stroller. The prayers went up every week. Lord, use us. We don't know what you want of us. We just know we're supposed to be here. We don't even know how we're going to exist. We don't have the money to put a gallon of milk on the table. Crystal learned to talk. Inviting people to church. Cheryl knocked on a door, and behind that door was a little lady with 15 young people sitting on the floor smoking marijuana. All had their Bibles open, and they had some warped, twisted religious concepts. And Cheryl began to invite them to church and invite this lady every week. Two or three times a week, they'd sit on the floor, smoke pot, read the Bible, and pray. And Tony was a part of that group. One Sunday night, about 9 or 10 of them showed up, and the Holy Ghost fell. I remember Tony reaching out for the first time in his life, truly feeling the presence of the Lord. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. He was baptized in Jesus' name, and 20 years have gone by. And the whole time, Brother Gleason, Cheryl and I are praying, Jesus, use us. There have been some things set in motion in this conference today that are already miraculous. But it cannot be judged by whether or not you can explain it. And they cannot be judged by whether or not you get the glory. They will be judged on the merits as to whether or not it was the perfect will of God in your life. Hola boko shandala moriata hai. Woman, what have I to do with thee? I'm going to meet the need, Mama. But there's some things that I cannot set aside. And so, Mama, even your agenda, as much as I love you, must acquiesce and come under subjection to the will of the Father. Apostolic revival is subject to the church's willingness to submit to the perfect will of God.
Samuel looked at Saul and said, "Here's why your kingdom is being ripped from your hands. Here's why you are not worthy to lead it. Because God prefers obedience over sacrifice." Have you ever wondered why God prefers obedience?
I can tell you now, we'd rather sacrifice. Some of us would rather work our fingers to the bones and claim ownership over that organ or that piano or that wall or that sidewalk or that van or that instrument. But why does God require obedience? Only in obedience can a man empty himself of his own will. There's no other way.
Even in sacrifice, there can be self-will.
But not in obedience. So let me tell you what. What God's going to do and who He's going to do it through. He's going to do the unexplainable. He's going to do the supernatural. He's going to blow our minds. He's going to turn our cities upside down. He's going to do things right here in this church and in the city of St. Joseph that critics out there to this day do not believe are going to happen. He's going to take burnt over fields and He's going to make them fertile valleys. He's going to take dried up riverbeds and He's going to overflow their banks with living water. I'm telling you, God is going to do it. But He's not going to do it through the rebellious and the half-hearted and the senseless. He is going to do it through people that come to Him and say, "What is your agenda, God? Tell me what is on your agenda today. If you give me your agenda, I'm going to pin what you have in your daytimer in my daytimer. And God, we're going to walk in lockstep together. And wherever you go, I'm going to go. And whatever you say, I'm going to say. And whatever you feel and whatever you think, I'm going to think. Be it unto me according to thy word." Let's stand together. I didn't even know God was working. I didn't even know God was working and He was building a preacher out of Tony. You may not even recognize the hand of God in your circumstances tonight, but let me tell you how to key into it. Lift your hands to the Lord right now. Open your mouth and say, "Lord, not my will. Be it unto me, Lord, according to thy word." And understand that God is too kind to be cruel. He is too wise to make mistakes. And sometimes He's just too deep to explain Himself. Walk on and trust. And watch the flow of the Spirit knock down walls that keep you from doing His will. Watch the flow of the Spirit bring birth to dreams that seem impossible. Walk in His perfect will and watch God make deserts bloom, barrenness, fruitfulness. Halaboko shandala moriata haya. Oh, yes, Jesus. Come on, anybody want to walk into this altar, right?